Welcome to Making Connections, a WMMT series on diversifying our future. Eastern Kentuckians are ready to talk about the future. This was clear when over 1,500 people showed up in Pikeville on December 9th for the first SOAR, Shaping Our Appalachian Region Summit. Ray Tucker made the trip all the way from Pulaski County and was one of hundreds in the lobby of the Pikeville Expo Center the morning of the event, ready to dig in to the day's agenda.
It's exciting. I got up at 5 o'clock this morning and got here really excited about the day to see these people here and what's going on.
The morning session included opening remarks from the summit's bipartisan conveners, Governor Steve Beshear and Congressman Hal Rogers, as well as Speaker of the House Greg Stumbo and President of the Senate Robert Stivers. As Governor Beshear outlined the reasons for calling the summit,
"This situation has reached a critical point. Coal has long been a foundation of this region's economy, and it will continue in that role for decades to come. But there should be no doubt in anybody's mind that its role as an employer is reducing. Changing market conditions, as well as stricter environmental regulations, are influencing the way this nation produces and consumes energy. That's a fact. And to ignore that is to blindfold ourselves and stick our heads in the sand. The need to diversify this economy has never been greater."
As a model to look to for examples of success from another mining region in transition, the day featured an extensive presentation by Joe and Tony Sertich, a father and son duo from the Iron Range of northeastern Minnesota. Both Joe Sertich's father and grandfather were Minnesota iron ore miners, and after going away from home to teach, Joe came back in 1979, and at first,
"Things were really looking good, but then the bottom fell out. And this isn't the first time it happened, so people weren't really surprised. But at the same time, we had newspaper headlines like the ones you see here, where families are facing an uncertain future. Mining companies reduced their employment in a matter of about a year and a half from 16,000 miners to 5,000 miners. This is devastation. This is pain. This is... psychologically, it's very, very difficult to deal with."
One of the key players in this moment of economic crisis was the Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation Board, of which Joe Sertich's son, Tony, is now the commissioner. IRRB for short, this board was first established by the state back in the 1940s to help with the boom and bust cycle of mining in rural northeastern Minnesota. Yet although IRRB is a state agency, it receives no state funding. Rather, it is entirely funded from the tax on the region's mined resources. And as Joe Sertich explained, this is possible because
"We're very fortunate that these resources that are mined in northeastern Minnesota, the value of the resource, the tax on the resource, primarily stays in the region that is most impacted by it. The taxing from the mining revenue in Minnesota, almost two-thirds of it stays in our local region. Now, the state gets their cut as well, but most of the revenue from this resource stays within our region to reinvest in our region. And we have, and just to put a little perspective yearly, our annual budget at the IRRB is $37 million. And then in the 1970s, folks thought about the end. They said, you're mining this non-renewable resource, and eventually you're going to deplete it all, or it's going to be not economically viable to take it out of the ground. So they started taking a portion of the yearly fund and putting it in a rainy day trust fund. And they called the trust fund the 2002 fund back in the 1970s, because they said, really smart people thought about this and thought, you'll be mining at least until 2002. And so we should at least have a rainy day fund built up until then. Well, I'm here to tell you, we're still mining long and strong, and it's still our major piece of our economy. But that trust fund that was started in the 1970s has now grown to $142 million. Now, we use the interest off of that trust fund to fund our yearly projects, but we have a nest egg in place now, a rainy day fund that will never go away.
It's been used since to invest in a wide variety of locally owned businesses, community infrastructure, and workforce development. And back in the 1980s, when the industry collapsed and thousands of miners were laid off, leaders used money from the trust fund and...
We established a jobs program that kept those unemployed people from leaving our region, and they worked on public works projects all across our region. So bettered our communities, it kept them there, made sure they got a paycheck instead of an unemployment check, and kept a vast majority of them in our region.
Currently in Kentucky, only half of the severance tax on mined coal returns to the coal-producing counties, and there is no permanent coal severance trust fund for the future. However, a report published in 2012 by the Mountain Association for Community Economic Development and the Kentucky Center for Economic Policy estimated that even a permanent fund started now, involving a 1% severance tax, could grow to $735 million by 2035 and be able to pay annual dividends of $31 million in current dollars, at that time just using Eastern Kentucky revenue, which could be used for investments in education and economic development. For Ray Tucker, many of these ideas hit home.
You know, the stories are the same, and if we can put it together and actually build a diverse economy, I think we'll actually have a brighter future. I really like the idea of the hands-on colleges in engineering. If you want to learn how to do a job, you've got to get out there and do it. And that's what their engineering program does. It puts people in the place where businesses actually happen and where real-world problems are needing to be solved. And I think that's great. I'd love to see it even in our middle schools and high schools. We have real-world problems that need solving. We could have middle school and high school students working to solve mine reclamation issues. All the things that, you know, they could be out there in the field learning stuff.
Joe and Tony Sertich also shared several stories of small businesses that IRRRB invested in that have since become very successful.
What I like about those stories, starting with Ryan, is there's an example of, and Tony says it best, he'd rather start businesses right in the region and grow them from 2 to 17 and do that 100 times than go find one big employer that's going to bring 300 or 400 jobs in.
To Justin Maxson, president of the Mountain Association for Community Economic Development, and a member of the 41-person SOAR Planning Committee, this kind of new approach to thinking about what economic development even looks like in eastern Kentucky must be at the heart of any strategy for success.
Part of what SOAR needs to mean is more than just investments in economic diversification, but it's got to mean investments in economic transformation, that we need to use it to create a new sense of politics. We have to make sure that we're lifting up development options that create locally held wealth and build people's sense of hope in what's possible. And we have to make sure SOAR doesn't just promote any job as a good job, but that SOAR promotes building jobs that create opportunity and build a stronger, better, more diverse, and sustainable economy.
Carl Shoup is a retired coal miner from Harlan County and a member of Kentuckians for the Commonwealth. And as Shoup sees it...
You know, not only in eastern Kentucky do we have to diversify our economy and try to get some different industry and different things going here in eastern Kentucky, but one thing that we got to keep in mind, too, that we got to diversify our leadership in eastern Kentucky. You know, this region has been and is, I hate to say it, but, you know, it has a history of cronyism big time. And we need some honest and courageous leaders today because we need some courageous decisions to be made if we're going to survive here in eastern Kentucky.
And according to Maxson, there's a lot of reasons why the rest of the state and the country should be paying attention to what's happening right now in Appalachia.
Eastern Kentucky and central Appalachia were critical to the industrialization of the U.S. You know, the coal that was mined in the region for, you know, 80 years was critical to steel mills, to the electrification of the U.S., that people sacrifice their health and their homes for coal. And I think it's important that story is told and that the rest of the state and the rest of the country understands the cost that extraction meant to the region. Two is, I think there's an economic argument for the rest of the state of Kentucky. If we invest smarter in eastern Kentucky in a way that over time addresses some of the challenges, the economic upsides to the rest of the state.
For Ivy Brashear of Perry County, SOAR is an opportunity for the beginning of a new kind of conversation.
This is a really key moment to bring lots of different people together, not just one side against another side, but it's a time to come together as one community, one region. And I think times of crisis sort of bring out collaboration and spirit of reconciliation.
Reporting for WMMT in Whitesburg, I'm Sylvia Ryerson. Making Connections is brought to you by WMMT, Mountain Community Radio. Find out more at makingconnectionsnews.org.